was really, oh, hello, thank you. she's a very spiritual person, takes seriously her faith, and in terms of meditation, and even has a spiritual advisor. And these kind of things were important to me, that this was a central part of her life. It's a central part of our life. We end each day with prayer and with gratitudes. She does her gratitudes and I do my gratitudes. This is one of the spiritual practices that we practice together and all. And I think that's been one of the bedrock strong things that we've stuck to and all. So that's all I've got to say about the first part of this. And I'm going to turn it over to my bride.
Hi, my name is Delphine, and I'm codependent.
Hi.
And I'm happy to be here. So first I want to tell you guys that we had a fight about who was going first. You know, David, so I'm going first. And I said, well, what makes you think you can go first? I want to go first. He said, but I thought of it first, and I asked first. And guess what? He was right. Okay, so I said, well, if you get to go first, I get to go last. It's a deal. So we did this all the time. So, you know, it's not about being perfect. It's about the process, right? So how many of you in here are married? I just want to know my audience. How many of you are in a serious relationship? All right. How many of you want to be in a serious relationship? And how many of you just don't give a you know what? Ah, yay! So anyway, I thought it's kind of mixed. There's a lot of different people here with different intentions. So anyway, I hope I hit on some of your thoughts and some of your trials, some of your challenges. So what I did is I picked out four traditions. I did 3, 6, 9, 12. And then I looked at them and put everything into those. And so tradition 3 is basically, and this is my interpretation, of course, is a desire for a healthy and loving relationship. So the first thing that I think about when I say healthy and loving relationship is me. I've got to have a healthy, loving relationship with myself. And guess what? I found out that if I don't have that, I can't have it with him. That's just the end of the sentence. So, but then the second part is that I want to have a partner. And so what do I do in order to have a healthy and loving relationship? So I made some notes, not that I need them, but because I want them. As David mentioned, is the first thing that comes to my mind is control. Yeah, that the control is about being right. And I'm going to go back and say that my issues around control are from my, and I'm going to use some therapy terms, from childhood wounding, which is a family of origin issue, and we all have them. And one of them is control. And I was not in control as a kid, as a woman, as anything. And our family, my father dominated. And so I don't like that one bit.
They can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm going to put it right up there, right? Sorry about that. So thank you for saying that. And so like David also said, is that I married my dad. So I have this thing that comes up automatically in my head is, don't tell me what to do. Yeah. And so you can imagine every time he asks me, I have this, don't tell me what to do. Because I hear it like that, right? I hear it like that. That's my filter. So so the other kinds of control issues that I use, also in being right, I've heard this said over and over, is do you want to be right or do you want to be in a loving relationship? And so sometimes I think of that. Sometimes I don't. So when I do think of it, it works out really well. And when I don't, it usually goes to hell in a handbasket. So the things that are in control, in my control, that I think I have control over is that I can use blame, it's your fault. I can score key. I mean, that's just, you know, the competitiveness for me is always there. Also, what I want you to hear is that I have a theory that there's two roads to recovery. One is therapy and one is 12-step program. And the way that I see that is I have to address my childhood issues, because if I don't, I won't be able to be a functional adult. And I have to be in 12-step programs because that is an adult program and it's an accountability program. And so the two together work so well, being able to be accountable as an adult and also to be able to be aware of my childhood issues and my wounds. So my strength in this issue is that I work my program, I have a sponsor, and I make amends. I make amends. I don't want to make amends a lot of the time, but that has been the most healing balm there is. It's like what I did was wrong. I don't do that. I'm a little bit of a mascot, but what I did is wrong. Aren't those beautiful words? I would love to hear it, so I can only imagine that David loves to hear it. I was wrong. And my intention is not to do that again. And that takes a lot of my maturity to do this. And it takes talking to my sponsor, and it takes working the steps. And so my experience, and that's my strength, and my hope is that out of working this program and making the amends all that, that I can have an equal partner, go figure, an equal partner, respectful. I catch myself being more respectful to people I don't know sometimes. And I feel sad about that. And also empathy, that he has childhood wounds too, and I don't have to beat up on him.
Thank you.
Thank you. I agree with all that. Absolutely. One of the things I wanted to say at the very beginning is that one of the things we have learned in our relationship is that perfect is the enemy of good. We're not trying to have a perfect relationship because there is no such thing. Back in the day, I thought when I found the right woman, that would be it. And we would just be perfectly enmeshed. All right? Perfectly enmeshed together and all. But we are two very strongly independent people. And so I subscribe to Cahil Gibran, who in the prophet wrote, "The pillars of the temple stand together, but not too close together. And the cypress and the oak do not grow in each other's shadow." I think that's a real important piece to know. So what the fourth tradition says, each group should remain autonomous except in matters affecting groups, other groups, or CODA as a whole. So we are very autonomous people. We lead her life, she leads, I lead my life, and we lead our life. And we do things, we spend many parts of a day where we don't interact at all. We spend other days when we do a lot together because we have lives of our own. We have our own friends and we have friends together.
But it's not all about we. There's me, and there's her, and there's us. And it's really important that you be clear about those boundaries, because boundaries is one of the real important pieces of a relationship. And, you know, one of the things for me with Delphine is when I start pontificating on something, and she says, David, I'm not your mother, you know. And it brings me up, and it reminds me. I also know that when there are times when I have to say, no, I don't want to do that. It's not something I want to do. For instance, I'm going to go see Dune just as soon as I can go see it. I don't expect she's going to be, especially when she finds out it's 2.5 hours, she is not going to go watch that with me. That's just something she doesn't like to do. Sometimes she'll ask me to go to a chick flick. And sometimes I will choose to do that, but it's a choice. I love baseball. If we hadn't have been gone on our cruise, I probably would have been at the game last night. And I don't know what condition I'd have been in this morning, okay? But I ask her, she wants to go. Sometimes she agrees to go, even though that's not her favorite activity in the whole world. If she doesn't want to go, I call one of my buddies. And we go together, you know? So we have separate lives in that respect. But on the other hand, the us part, when we have big decisions to make, like we've been noticing some of our older friends, older than us, I'm pretty sure we're the oldest people in the room, at least I am, but we have found that their health would deteriorate really unexpectedly and seriously and suddenly. And they hadn't planned on it. So together, we are making a decision that in 3 years, we will move into a senior living facility. Someplace where we can live independently, but if we need more care, we can move into the next stage, but we can still be together. We don't need to hang on to things that we can't manage anymore, you know. And I hope a lot of you are a long way from having to do that, you know. But that's one of the things that we've had to do to maintain our relationship and maintain some sense of independence in the process of all of that, and all. We also, in that process, we financially do something a lot of people just don't understand at all. She has her money, and I don't tell her what to do with it. And I have my money, and she doesn't tell me what to do with it. And we have our money, which we've determined what do we need to do, like pay the electric bill, pay the mortgage, buy food, particularly buy wine. You gotta have to do that, you know. My doctor says even with my diabetes, I don't have to give up my wine. So there you go. Anyway, so we make accommodation that way. When we go on a trip like the one we just went on, we split the cost right down the middle. This is what we do. Because it works for us. And why? Because the truth is, both of us were very independent people before we met each other. Delphine had never been married before. I'd been married once before, but I'd been single for a while, and I got used to doing things the way I wanted to do them when I wanted to do them. She never did do them anyway, but the way she wanted to do it. And so you notice her last name starts with a Z. Mine starts with an L.
That's just the way it is, you know? And they don't look too funny at us at hotels and things when we check in, but you know, and all. So that doesn't mean we don't love each other or that we don't care for each other, because we do.
Thank you, David. So tradition six, an interpretation, ought never allow outside interests to divert working on the relationship. Ought never allow outside interests to divert working on the relationship. Woo. When I got into recovery, I went to the Meadows. I spent a month there, came back, found a sponsor, and I have worked my program now for 32 years. And don't I get a clap or something? Yeah. I worked hard, and I had a kick-ass sponsor. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, one of the things that she did is I spoke with her every day for 15 minutes for about 10 years, okay? Not more, no more than 15. And the other thing that if you're a sponsor or sponsee, and you get this kind of stuff, she listened to me very well, and I could have an issue three times. Now, I wasn't keeping track of my issue, right? But she was. And on the third time, she said, "That's it, Delphine. It sounds like you want to keep this issue, and we're not talking about that anymore." You get it? Yeah, there was a reason why I wanted to hang on to that. I hadn't figured it out, but she knew that I was not willing to let it go. And so I couldn't talk about it anymore. So I learned that this program works if you work it. And it's not just about talking, it's about doing. And so, not that I do it all the time, but you know, it's a good idea. So as part of this, I also learned at the Meadows that I was an avoidant. I was 52 years old when I got married, right? How long can you avoid a relationship, really? I mean, I held out. And but what I got at the Meadows was that I was missing a lot of joy, and there was a real big part of me missing. And so when I came back and I got into the program and such, and you know, I started, I asked David to dance and all that, and my sponsor held my feet to the ground on this one. But the main thing that I did in choosing a partner was I had my values and I had my priorities. And I would say for those of you who are in a relationship and not married yet, now's the time to look at your partner and see if he has the same values. Because after you get married, well, you can get a divorce, but you know, why waste all that time and money and blah, blah, blah. So no, find out who this person is and align with him or get aligned with him or not. Okay. So I did that. And but I am an avoidant. And I still have to work at that, because outside interests are very interesting to me, because intimacy is scary. Yeah, I have a lot of awareness now. And so I'm able to. Don't you think I'm able to do pretty good?
Pretty good.
Yeah. So, not all the time. And that's what I want to say. You know what? I don't even use that P word. Perfect. I don't use that word. It's not even in my vocabulary. But what we have is good enough. And what we are both in is in a process. And me for sure, you know? So, my internal dialogue is something like, this isn't it. David's not good enough. David doesn't do it right. Oh, look over there. You know, all that BS. that just automatically comes up that I hear, but I don't act on, and I don't even hold it in my head very long. Others is that, you know, all the shoulds, he should. He's an extrovert, I'm an introvert. You know, I don't like COVID, but I like being at home. I love my Zen den. I was happy as a clown. I eventually got a little tired of it, but I can manage being alone. That's where I get my energy. And that is the definition of an introvert, is we get our energy from ourselves, mental, spiritual, emotional. And extroverts, I guess you get it both ways, but more outside. So what I use in order to stay inside the marriage is I take an inventory of myself on a regular nightly basis. Not nightly, but mostly nightly. I don't do it on vacation. For sure, I don't do it on vacation. I don't know why. It all works out there. I have to really be aware of my internal boundaries. And that's my conversation, my dialogue, my filter. I have to really pay attention to that, because I can go off on a tangent. And it's not good. It's not good. And the other thing is that having fun together. That's one of the things that is really important to me, is having fun together. And I can create that fun. I like to have that fun. And it's up to me to do that, if that's important to me. And my hope is that during this program, being aware of my issues and such, that I can laugh more. I can be affectionate more. I can be more complimentary. I can just be an all-around awesome woman who's married. Yes. That's it.
Wow. Thank you.
Sometimes.
Give it a hand. Good. Wow. There. Well, she was close. That's pretty good self-timing, wasn't it? Yeah.
I have notes.
So she has notes. I wanted to say something about what she said, but I can't remember it anymore, which is what happened, which is a good thing. As you get older, you just forget a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of stuff in relationships that just need to be forgotten. You know, one of the things that I learned is in relationships and in the work we've done is that when it's done, it's done. Don't keep bringing it up again and again and again. It's kind of like her sponsor said three times, you know, if you've had it, if you ain't dealt with it, it's too late. And all. So I'm dealing with tradition 7, which says that every group ought to be self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Now, there's a couple of ways to take that. I've talked a little bit already about our financial independence, but I think I've worked with couples over my professional career, what I find is a lot of people who are dependent within the relationship, which automatically puts them in a one down position. And then when the relationship breaks up, one or the other of them doesn't have the resources they need to take care of themselves. So I'm a great advocate of being self-supported. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to work, I suppose, but somehow you need to have resources that you can call on for yourself. And fortunately, I have had good help from Delphine in getting out of debt, because I carried a lot of debt from my first marriage because I was codependent and I thought I had to charge up all my credit cards and meet everybody's needs and you know, it'd be crazy. And I couldn't do that because she was self-supporting. She said, I ain't taking on your debt. I said, right, don't expect you to.
So I had to take care of, and I, you know, I have credit cards. I use credit cards. There's never one of them carried over 1 month. They're all paid off every month. I live within my means. And I know she does. Lives within her means. And we both have resources, and they're adequate for each of us independently. And together, it allows us to do a lot of wonderful things, like the vacations we take. One of the things we do is on our special birthdays, like 70, 75, 80, we were supposed to, but didn't get to do, is we pick a city and a country somewhere. I picked Bologna last time when I was 75, and she picked Paros, a Greek island, where they made Mamma Mia. Turns out I didn't know that till I got there, you know. So we spend 3 weeks or 4 weeks in that spot, and we have the resources to do that because we have managed our finances in a way that's been responsible. And I think that's a problem for a lot of codependents, so I want to urge that. But self-supporting also means, in terms of the relationship, that we have to have support not only from each other, but I do not rely totally on Delphine for my emotional support. We are not enmeshed. God help us, we are not enmeshed. Been there, done that, don't want to ever do it again. If that's your idea of a relationship, I feel sorry for you. That's all I can say. So self-supporting. She has her support groups. She got her meeting. I got my meeting. I've got my support groups and all. We have separate families. We do a lot of things with each other's families, but we have separate families that we provide support to, and they provide support to us. So there's never enough support in the world. You know, you never know when that crisis is going to come right hit you in the face. Like the other night, she got up early and went in the other room, and she shut the bedroom door. I got up, and I walked right into the bedroom door. Bam! Just like that. Things hit you like that sometimes, you know? They just do. And it pays to have somebody at hand that can be supportive of you and all. Self-supporting also means, and it means seeking help when you need help. Sometimes we seek help together. I'm going to talk about that in my last tradition. But what I find is that I have a men's support group. We've gone together at least once a month for 27 years, longer than I've been married. And when I'm having trouble dealing with something, they're very helpful to me and all. I do not depend on my family for my emotional support, nor do I depend on my family for support of our relationship. That's my responsibility. It's not my kid's responsibility. Or wouldn't be my mother's responsibility if she were still around. Talking about some of these issues about control and expectations, sometimes I would say something, and she said, "David, I'm not your mother." Because one of the big issues for us was that family of origin issues. And I had a mother who had very high expectations, but she was also very critical. And so I tended to put that off on her too, okay? All right.
Thank you, David. So tradition 9, my interpretation, responsible in and to the relationship. So background on that, another therapy term that you might have heard is called the adaptive child. So after the wounding, you know, whatever it is in your childhood, you learn to deal with that in your adaptive way. And so that becomes your filter, that becomes your behavior, that becomes your life. Everything that happens around you is from this adaptive child. If you don't know it, you will continue to act out of that. It's like when somebody says to you, how old are you? Not meaning how old I really am, but how old am I acting? And that's usually the adaptive child. My go-to adaptive child is somewhere between 5 and 10. And so I have awareness of that. I've done my work around that. And am I perfect? What's the answer to that? No way. You guys, I don't even know what the hell I'm doing up here most of the time. You know, I'm a person in process, but I've worked hard to get where I am and to have what I have, which is a loving, supportive, equal partner. And, you know, I like that. So anyway, as part of this adaptive child, one of my go-tos is criticism. You know, hello, mama. You know, is mama saying that to him all the time? You know, it's like, and I have triggers. And one of them is, and I know this, it's the kitchen. I do not like to come in after David has fixed his egg in the morning. Fingerprints on the, yeah, I'm not going to go into that. But I go, you know, I just cleaned out last night. And so, but I have to be so careful because now I know the kitchen is a real problem for me. If I don't watch it and I don't have empathy around that, I think, well, the other thing is I take it personally. Does anybody in here take anything personally? Yeah. Trouble. You get in trouble. I get in trouble. So the other thing that I have as a go-to that just screws up our relationship is I do so much more. I do so much more. I do more to house. I do more this. I do more that. I just do so much more. It's hard to get over that one. I just have to put blinders on. I have to pay attention to, you know, what it is I'm doing. I'm more of that. I because I have low self-esteem, I go for perfectionism. I never attain it, of course, but, you know, that's what I want. I want y'all to think I'm pretty dang good, you know, even though I kind of know it now. I used to not know it. I used to not know it. So another one is expectations. If I do something kind for David, I have to be really, really careful because I'll think maybe he'll do something kind for me, you know. But that's a setup because then I'm disappointed and I blame him and bad news. Dishonesty. My father was so, he was an entrepreneur. We lived in a small town. And he had all kinds of businesses and all his children worked in all the businesses and we didn't have anybody to teach us. We learned on the job. And so I learned how to withhold information and be dishonest. That was my adaptation to that situation to save myself. And I have to be real careful not to do that with David because I can withhold information, which is manipulative. And I can be downright dishonest, which now when I'm telling a lie, I hurt. It's like it just breaks our relationship right into on my side and amends to myself first and then to David. That is real serious relationship work. And of course, boundaries, internal, external, all of those, they're, you know, those are imperative. You have to have them in a relationship. You know, I tell my sponsors, I say, when they're talking about their significant other, blah, 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 and I say, you know, he's your teacher. You know, he's your teacher. And I'm listening it to myself about that too. You know, you marry someone so you can grow. Because he, she is the perfect person for you to learn how to be a functioning, mature, loving adult. Hey! So David talked about the division of labor that we have in all of our life. We broke everything down. He does the grocery shopping, I do the laundry. He does the outside, I do the inside. I do the bills on la 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 la. He does the bills on la 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 la. Everything is taken care of. And you have to be responsible and accountable for that. You have to be accountable for your time. When you say you're gonna be somewhere, be ready sometime. Most of the time I'm really good about that. I'm better than I was in the beginning. Because that was one of the other things. When my daddy would be, we'd go to church and on Sunday and whatever, and I'd never be ready. Talk about burning passive aggressive. And so he would park the car out the front with all the kids in the car, and I'd come walking out. And he would be, you know, really complaining and everything before I get in the car. And when I got in the car, he wouldn't say a word. So I got away with this. So my hope around this responsible in relationship is to be supportive, to use all the rituals that we've set up. And that's it.
I agree with everything she says. We've learned so much from each other. So my last one that I'm talking about the tradition is tradition eight. Codependents Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may provide special workers. The way I interpret that is that we get help. We get help when we need help. Quickly delving into the psychological a little bit, we are great believers in Imago therapy. And in Imago therapy, you realize that that person you meet and you're just gaga over and you're floating off the floor up at the ceiling or whatever, you know how we are when we're in love with love. And the person's just perfect. They're absolutely perfect. But then what they've done through research is they show about 6 to 9 months into the relationship, all of a sudden, there's some cracks in the facade. She's not on time. Aggravates the hell out of me. Or whatever it is. She has gotten a lot better about that. You know. So what happens in our relationship, and that kind of happened in our relationship, okay, so we're married. We're living in the same house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and we're not getting along. Now, you know, at a time like that, people make choices. Does it stick to their guns, fight it out? We decided every time to go get help. And we used the Imago process so that I could talk to her, she could talk to me, and say what they wanted, what they needed. And I got to listen. Listening is not what you say in a relationship, it's what you hear in a relationship that is important. You know, it really is. For instance, she said a while ago, she said, I do something nice and I think he'll do something nice back for me. Well, I want to do something nice back for her.
Okay, I really do. And I try to. When we were in Sisters, Oregon, I found this little gift shop there. It was wonderful. All kind of wonderful things. And I wanted to buy her something, but I know not to buy her something because I don't know if she'll want it. And I don't want to get the wrong thing or whatever. And all. So I didn't get it. So I told her about that store, and she went there and bought out store. Well, not quite, but she bought a lot of stuff. And she told about this jewelry she bought. And I've been wanting to buy her something for our 25th anniversary. And she said she bought these things for herself. And I said, did I buy one of those for you? You know, because I wanted to do something. And I'd looked at the same things. Probably could have picked out about the same thing. But, you know, anyway, and all. So, the thing is that the other thing is to be able to say no, even when it's painful and it creates momentary separation. One of the things I've learned is that it's momentary because we are committed. This is another thing. We are committed to the relationship first and foremost. Okay. We ain't looking for any place to run. That's one of the things you need to look at when you get in. Are you looking for a place to run to? Or are you needing to stay? And if you're hurting, you got to say something. You got to say something. And if we need help, if we're at loggerheads, we have to go and find, well, we know where to go get help. And one of the things that CODA meeting helps me with is to have my truth about things that are difficult that may be going on. Not to make her wrong or me right, but just to say, this is a painful place. This is a difficult place to be at this time. So self-supporting or self-supporting the word, seeks help, seeking help. So that's the interpersonal piece, seeking help. But there's also the mundane. I'm going to close on the mundane. I should have started with the mundane and close with the interpersonal, but I got that turned around, so whatever. I don't like the, I'm not a good plumber. I'm not a good carpenter. She's better than I am in some of that stuff, you know, and all. But we find that sometimes we have to hire somebody to do something so that things work. Because when things don't work, then we get upset. And you know, when you get upset, what do? You smack out at somebody that's close. The people you love most sometimes are the ones you take it out on. When things aren't working, you know. So we've learned there's some things like in Texas, in Houston, Texas, you got to have a good air conditioning man. You just do. And so we do. We also happen to have a good handyman. And we like him because he says, you can do that. I didn't want to replace the plunger in the toilet, you know. Hey, so you can do that. My God, I did. I replaced it. The thing works better than it did before. It's perfect. So sometimes we can do things. We just have to try. We've got to kind of know where the boundaries are there. So now, my sweetie gets to have the last word. More than a word.
Oh, yeah. I should know.
So the last tradition, excuse me, is tradition 12. And my interpretation of that 12th tradition is honoring the coupleship. Honoring the coupleship. That was a term that we learned when we went to RCA, which was Recovering Couples Anonymous. And I'm going to tell you, that's a black belt program. I remember the first time that we went, you know, it's like when you're, excuse me, when you're sharing in a CODA meeting and you're sharing your, you know, your problems, your concerns, your challenges. Well, your problem and concern and your challenge is sitting next to you. And you talk about that. And we used to just, after the meeting, we would get into a big damn fight about that. So, why didn't you talk to me about that before? You shouldn't be talking about that in the meeting. And we just got all upset with each other about sharing our issues in public. And we got over ourselves because we just started being able to speak in a different way, which was more about the I statements, you know, those, rather than you, all about you. It's more about I statements and how I interpreted what you said and how I set up an expectation and how I made assumptions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
I do.
Oh, he does. So the coupleship then becomes a unit. And we had a couple sponsor. And we went through, this is so awesome. We went through the 12 steps as a couple. Isn't that just cool?
Yeah.
It was so cool. Unfortunately, that is a branch, RCA, it comes out of love addiction and sex addiction. I think sex addiction mainly. And we realized that they don't, we're not invited anymore because we were just codependent. But we don't have big enough issues like this. I don't know, that was sarcastic. I'm sorry. So really, those are the things that sabotage this coupleship is my assumptions, my projections, my expectations. And in 12-step terms, it could be self-centered, self-seeking, you know, those. But the strengths in our relationship is that we do our gratitudes every night together. And that is an awesome process. And I usually include David in my gratitude. So that's nice. The other thing that David mentioned that we do is we like to play together. We are very playful people. We like to go and do music, dinner, you know, just enjoy life. My sister lost her husband 3 years ago. And when I was visiting her this summer, she said, "Oh, Delphine, enjoy David while you have him." And it's really made a difference because who says we're going to be here tomorrow? Yeah, so it's made a, you know, I feel different. And our churches are a really important part of our life because I believe and I know, I don't have to believe, I know spirituality is the core of joy. Being loved and loving. Being forgiving, being willing, and surrender. I don't know if there's any more words that could cover, you know, having a good relationship or wanting to be in a relationship that brings you closer to your soul, closer to, you know, the reason for being here. And so it was such an honor to be able to, for us to talk today. And you know what the truth is, that anytime I get an opportunity to speak, I have to do my homework. And it's sort of like journaling. And it's like reviews. It's like my step program. It's like everything, and it helps me to be in a relationship and be on the same page with my sweet darling husband.
That was freaking incredible. Thank you so much.